So this morning's message is brought to us by Brother Terry. He's no stranger to us. And his title of this sermon is
God's Way.
God's Way. Thank you.
Hopefully I won't take up too much of your time this morning. So before I get started, I would like for us to bow our heads with a short prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, that you've given us to come together this morning to open your word. So, Lord, we ask you now that your Holy Spirit will be upon me, it will be upon those who will be hearing me, and we pray, Lord, that hearts and minds shall be open. We thank you, Lord, for these opportunities that you've given us. Please bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, here's a news flash. I am a Seventh-day Adventist. Today, or this morning, I want to share something with you, no matter where I get in church. You know, your spiritual walk is kind of up, and then it's down. It's kind of up, and it's down sometimes. But there's always something that I can go back to, and every time I look at it, it just blows me away. I don't care if I go to the Revelation seminars. I don't care if Doug Batchelor come here, Walter Vaith. I don't care who come down here. Those guys come here and speak. It's always something about going back to the simple things that God has said that can really cause that fire to come back in your heart. Amen? You know, like Jesus' parables. They were so simple, but they were so deep at the same time. So without going any further into that, remember when the disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus, am I saying that right? And the guys were talking about what happened to Jesus, right? So Jesus showed up. They didn't know it was Jesus. And they was all sad. They were down in the dumps, man, you should have heard about what they did to our buddy Jesus, this and that. And Jesus said, fools, slow of heart. Have you not taken a look at what was read that Moses and the prophets say should come to what? Come to pass. And if you go down a couple more verses, he says Moses and the prophets talked about these things concerning me. Here's an interesting statement. Jesus says, if you believe not Moses' writings, how shall you believe my words, because he wrote of who? Now, where's Jesus' birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection in the first five books? We got Genesis, we got Exodus, we got Leviticus, we got Numbers, we got Deuteronomy. Now, two of them books we know real boring, don't we? Because all it does is lay out a bunch of information. But Jesus says, if you believe not what was written in the first, how many books?
Five
books. How are you going to believe my words? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all know what's different between us and everybody else? We see this as a whole. You know how everybody else see it? Split in half, two halves. And both halves arguing with each other. Now, we all in the same church in here. How many times you ever met a Christian, you go to talk to them, you go to Old Testament, well, that's Old Testament, I don't want to hear nothing about that. Now, that's what's wrong with y'all now. That's why y'all keeping Sabbath and everything else. Y'all ain't like us. We all reading and looking at the same what? Same Bible, right? You ever notice people pick and choose what they want? When you talk to them ministers about people not paying tithes to them, they don't like to hear that, do they? A minister, that's Old Testament. Well, that's different. That's different. That's different. No, it's not. The Bible is a complete what? Whole. Y'all with me this morning?
Yeah.
All right. Now, I want you to go with me to Psalm 77, verse 13. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to draw a small diagram on the board. Go with me to Psalm 77, 13. And what does it say? It's in the what?
Sanctuary.
It's in the sanctuary. Now, want everybody to take a look at something. You know, I'm a seaman instructor down at Bamberg Job Corps. Sometimes when I'm teaching the kids, you have to simplify things. You know something I like about God? He simplifies stuff so everybody can understand it. Isn't it a good thing I don't need to be a theologian to understand the Bible? Isn't that a good thing? The Bible was written in simple language so everybody can get it. Now, I want y'all to tell me what, black is not, I'm gonna use another color. Now, y'all know I'm not an artist, so I'm gonna do the best that I can. Y'all like my artwork? I'm getting pretty good. Can everybody see it? Anybody know what these are right here?
Angels.
There we go. All right, simple representation, right? It's good or bad?
Good.
It's good? Thank you. All right, now, this is what the sanctuary consisted of, right? Door, altar, laver, 7 candlestick, altar of incense, showbread, and the Ark of the Covenant that contained the what? The Ten Commandments. Above the Ten Commandments, what's this little sun-like thing I got, all that glory? That was a Shekinah glory. And on both sides of the Shekinah glory was what?
Covering cherubs.
Covering cherubs, angels. Now, here's the interesting thing. What is this right here?
The door.
The door. What is this right here? Oh, y'all can't be quiet this morning. Y'all gonna learn something here. What is this, a laver? This is a what?
Candlestick.
Okay. This is the?
Altar.
Don't y'all laugh at my spelling now. What is this?
Showbread.
And this is the?
Ark of the Covenant.
Ark of the Covenant. Jesus says, if you understand not Moses, you won't understand me. Didn't Jesus say, I am the door? What goes on the altar? I am the lamb. What goes in the laver? I am the living water. Candlestick, I am the light. Table of showbread, I am the bread of life. I am your savior. When they sacrificed the animal, God said, that's a sweet smelling what? Savior. You know, somebody burn incense against something, smells good, right? And up here, I am the word. But if you believe not Moses' writings, how shall you believe my words? See, we see the Bible as it is. Other church, man, look at this. What the sanctuary got to do with anything? That stuff don't mean nothing. Jesus just listed every article of furniture and said, I wonder what Jesus was trying to tell us to study. What was he trying to tell us to study? The sanctuary. Now, excuse me. Now, check this out. The door. Let's take a look at the colors. What colors were the door?
White.
Nope. Red. White was around it. But the actual colors that consisted the door were blue, red, and purple. Now here's the interesting thing.
The dividing between the holy and the most holy.
Well, I'm talking about this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like white curtains in the entrance of the enclosure.
I'll show you. But down here, if you take a look at colors, Even the symbols of the colors had significance. Now, if you take blue and red, what color do you end up with?
Purple.
When Jesus says, I am the door, when you do a study on Bible colors, and if you look at the entrance to the door, the outer layer of the sanctuary was contained by wood that was overlaid, and it was overlaid by a white cloth that went around. But the door had a different look to it, and there were particular colors that were used in the door, and it was these colors. When you study Bible colors, the Bible says blue represents what in the Bible?
Obedience
of God's law. Did you know God used to tell the Israelites they used to hang blue ribbons around the borders of their garments? And does anybody know what they were supposed to write on those blue ribbons? God's law. Red represents what? Blood or sacrifice. And guess what? If I am keeping God's law and I accept his sacrifice, I am now become a part of the royal family. Purple is a color of royalty in the Bible. Before I could even walk to the door, I have to realize that God's law is true. I have to accept Jesus as my sacrifice and that I will become a part of the royal family of God. Man, I don't need a theology degree to understand that. God gave me a picture book to take a look at. You see how simple that is? Now, y'all want me to stop or y'all want me to keep going? All right, I'm going to show you something else. Now, like I said, I'm only going to skim the surface. Once you get past the door and you realize that Jesus is the only way, now, why can't you come through the sides? You couldn't come through this side. You couldn't come to the top. How many ways was it into the sanctuary?
One.
The Bible says, Jesus says, I am the way. Who is the only way to salvation? Jesus. Acts 4:12 says there is only one name upon the heaven whereby men can be what? Saved. Now y'all can't tell me this ain't accident. We ain't even got in the door good yet. I'm going to show you before we get to the end of this, you can checklist your church about whether your church is teaching the gospel correctly by walking through the sanctuary. Even before the Bible was given, God gave us a picture book, an example for everybody to see. Once you come in, what's the first thing you come to? Now, people always argue in the church. When we first come to Jesus, what's more important? Accepting Jesus or jumping in the baptismal pool? Y'all know Christians argue about that stuff like that, right? You know, when you first come in, you need to accept Jesus first before you do anything. So right here, the first thing you do in sacrifice is realize Jesus is the way. But once you realize, because you can realize Jesus is the way, but not accept him. I know a lot of people that know they need to come to Jesus, but they don't. You come to Jesus, you realize you need to accept him, and then guess what? After you accept him, what's the next thing we do in church? What the pastor do? He dips him. Ain't that right, pastor? You dip him. Now, once you accept Jesus' sacrifice, once you come to him and you get baptized at the laver, now guess what? I wonder what light represents in the Bible. Maybe it's the Holy, what?
Spirit.
I wonder what the bread represents in the Bible. Also the word. I wonder what incense represents. And then when you get up here, you get to the law of God. Look, the Bible just gave you a direct walk, how a person should be saved. I realize Jesus is the way. I accept Jesus' sacrifice. I get baptized and I decide to live like Christ. But once I decide to live like Christ, I need the help of the Holy Spirit. Once I get the help of the Holy Spirit, I got to realize I got to keep in constant communion with God through prayer. Once I realize I got to keep in constant communion with God through prayer, I have to realize I have to know what God wants. So I have to study his word. And then once I study his word, I come to his law. Y'all still think this is an accident? Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Now look, I always like this. When you draw a line, what do you see in the middle of the sanctuary? A cross. Interesting. My mind is blown every time I look at this. And see, that's why I always wondered when I first came into the church. You know, when I first came to SDA, like, why y'all always talking about this stuff all the time? I was in church for years, and I never studied this. But this thing right here solidifies and puts us in concrete. It helps you understand God is love. I've been trying to tell y'all since day one. how to go about this thing. Is everybody clear so far? Everybody clear so far? All right. Now, the next thing I want us to take a look at. I also thought this was interesting too. Israel started out in Egypt, right? They had to sacrifice a lamb. Then they had to go through the Red Sea. Then when they got in the wilderness, God rained manna. A pillar of fire protected them by day and night. And then they finally got to Mount Sinai, where God gave the Ten Commandments. When you walk through the sanctuary, it also gives you the direction of the Old Testament story. Do you still think this is accident? Are you getting a new concept? It's fitting. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Now, I see y'all looking at me funny. Are y'all still with me or y'all not with me? Now, I'm going to do something. I'm going to draw a smaller model over here. Now, let's say we're looking at it from the side. Let's say it's laying down on the side, right? So, let's do it like this. Curtain. All right, you see this? If you divide the sanctuary, I know that drawing is horrible, isn't it? If you divide the sanctuary up in three sections, you ever heard these words before? Justify, sanctify, and glorify. You ever heard those words? Do you know when you first come to God, you accept Jesus and you get baptized, from that point on, you are justified by God and He takes care of all your sins of the past. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. It's why people argue with Seventh-day Adventists. Once I come to Jesus, that's it. I accept Him in my life. There ain't nothing else I got to do. That's all right. Because even though Jesus has forgiven me for my sins and my past, what about them problems that I'm struggling with right now? Jesus forgave me what I have committed, but what about that stuff I'm struggling with right now I haven't beat yet? Well, guess what? This part helps you deal with the sins of the present. Because how? The Holy Spirit got to help me. You know when you get ready to do wrong sometimes, Holy Spirit, don't say that, don't say that. You know when you're reading your word and the Bible tells you need to change some of your habits? Oh, I got to correct that. Some of us don't want to pray sometimes. God said, you need to keep a relationship with me if you're going to want to follow me. Once I become a Christian and I get justified, that's not it, folks. I got to learn how to be like God once I come to God. Most people want to, I'm going to let Jesus save me. I want Him to save me, but I don't want to do nothing He tell me to do. Oh, Christianity don't work like that. Check this out. The sanctuary diagram beats false doctrines. If you study the diagram, you'll see that once you get justified, you still got to get your life right. And then eventually, one day, God will take care of all sins in the future forever, where we'll be living with Him and there's no more sin. So if you break the sanctuary in three sections, you got justification, sanctification, and glorification. If you go up through the sanctuary, I got to accept Jesus, get baptized, but then I got to act like a Christian. I got to obey the Holy Spirit. I got to read my word every day. I got to pray every day. And then I need to follow God's law. You still think this is accident? I'm amazed at this. I go back, I look at this all the time. I'm amazed at this. There's no way this is. The Bible's made up of a bunch of fake fairy tale stories. This ain't no accident, folks. This is before the Bible was written. Now, let me show you something else. Boy, I tell you, y'all always up there talking about all that health nonsense and telling people what they should and should not do and what they should put on their plate, all that stuff. Folks, it's a New Testament teaching. Y'all gonna quote it for me. Your body is a... I wonder why God said your body is a what? What is Jesus telling you might want to go and take a study and look at? The sanctuary. This is interesting. You got blood here, right? The altar, and you got water represents the flesh. The Holy Spirit deals with your studying the Word, deals with your praying with God, deals with your I hear the question. In the sanctuary, a spirit has to be dwelling here. All right? The question is, what spirit is dwelling in your sanctuary? Because let me tell y'all something. You know what spirit dwells in your sanctuary? It depends on what you do with these first two. You catch that? Now, it's interesting that you had these five pillars before you went into the first compartment. Now, I thought this was interesting. What are the five senses? What are the five senses? Touch.
Taste.
Taste. Oh, man, taste get us all the time, don't it? Smell. Oh, it smell good, too. Uh-huh. What else?
Hearing.
What's the other one?
See.
Hmm?
See.
I'm going to put C. You know, from your flesh, you know, the devil tried to keep you away from the Holy Spirit, and he tried to keep you away from the bread, and he tried to keep you away from prayer. You know how he do that? Oh, man, don't he or she feel good? Ooh, don't that feel good? Ooh, man, don't that food taste good? You ain't supposed to say, ooh, don't that food taste good? You can smell it. It smells delicious. And then what about hearing? Oh, man, some of us like to hear stuff we don't need to be hearing. Oh, and this one right here. Everybody downfall right here, TV. I'm just going to go ahead and put it up there. There's some stuff I watch. Folks, I ain't got no business watching it. I'm just going to be honest with y'all. If we was to go in everybody's house and click on their Netflix and Hulu history, just being honest with you. But you know what? The devil, see, he don't want you to get here. See, look, he wants you to stay. See, this is where I need you at. I need you right here in the flesh. I don't need you looking at their spirit stuff. I need you to stay right here with me. Now, here's the interesting thing. Your body is a temple. What could you never take into the sanctuary? Unclean what? Unclean what? What happened if you took a pig into the sanctuary? What happened if you took a pig into the sanctuary? It destroyed everything, but what was the punishment for trying to desecrate and mess up the sanctuary?
Death.
What happened if you took some lobster tails into the sanctuary? What happens if you took oysters? What happens if you took, what else? Say you take some gopher, some rat. Did you know if you took any of those animals into the sanctuary, you desecrated the sanctuary? Punishment for that was death. This is so interesting because the Bible says my body is a temple, and when I take unclean foods into my temple, it leads to death. Oh, man. One of the most amazing things I talk with people about. Man, Terry, that's Jewish folk stuff, man. That's some Jewish people stuff. Well, last time I checked anatomy and I studied, my digestive system works just like that of a Jewish person. Correct me if I'm wrong, all right? You know what the logic is we always use of that? Let's say your kid get up in the morning and breakfast. They go into the kitchen, they pull out a big old bowl, and they pull out Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops, and they take a whole half a bag of Dixie Crystal and pour it on top of it, sugar running over the side of the bowl. Then they take some caramel syrup and they squeeze it on top, and they take some Hershey syrup and they put it on top. Then they go and get a whole big old 32-ounce cup of Kool-Aid, and they pour that on top. Now, when you come in there and see your kid about to eat that, what you gonna say? You don't put that nonsense up. What is the matter with you? But you know, what if your kids say the same thing to you? We say to God, don't worry, mom or dad. I'm just going to pray over it and this food won't affect me. And that's what we tell God. God, I'm going to eat this and it won't bother me. I'm just going to pray over it. Y'all know I work out in the center with kids. You can say all what you want about health all day long. You know what I have the worst time with my students? After lunch. Food affects you whether you want to believe it or not. But guess what? I'm not trying to go into that. I just want to show you that with the sanctuary, I can teach almost every Bible doctrine in detail down to the T. The sanctuary is a checklist for what an individual believes, even before the Bible was written. How do we know all the Bible writers was right? Let's see. They got folks, God made it so simple, but we get so blown away with all this other stuff. All we got to do is stick with the model. Now, let me show you something else. So, with this, I'm going to show you what others do. I'm going to show you what others do. Hey, Terry, y'all SDAs, man, y'all teach you. You got to come to Jesus, and then you got to do what Jesus say. And then God got a law, and you got to live by that law. I was like, you know that law let other people know you're a Christian, right? You don't need to follow that law. How do you tell if somebody else a Christian? Can you look at somebody and tell they're a Christian? No, you got to watch how they what? By they what, you'll know them. By their fruits, right? How many of y'all can pick out a Christian just by looking at a person? You can't do that. You can't do it. You know, me and Brian go door to door. Y'all just have people look at me and Brian sometime when we go into the door. You should watch how people look at us. They don't expect it. You can't judge people by the way they look. Now look, some people say, you know what? You don't need the law. Man, I tell you what, y'all talking about studying the word, you don't need the word. Only thing you need in your life is when you come to Jesus, have the Holy Spirit in prayer, you don't need no law. That is an incomplete sanctuary. You have just destroyed the gospel. Y'all met them Christians that tell you they don't even need to pray. They just say, I got the Spirit, tell me what to do. How many of y'all did a Bible study with somebody and you showing them clearly what the Bible says, you got to do something, and they say, well, I'm going to wait for the Spirit to tell me what to do. What? How'd that work? Some people nah. You ain't got to get baptized. You just accept Jesus. Don't even worry about none of that. Mm-hmm. He that believeth and is baptized is saved. I mean, don't get me wrong. Baptism in and of itself does not save you. But if Jesus says you need to do it, it's part of the what? Steps. See, everybody want to skip. Everybody want to skip the steps. And when you skip the steps, you get an incomplete sanctuary. If you get an incomplete sanctuary, you have taken God's way and made it whose way? Folks, every time I look at this, I get blown away. You know what's the only doctrine that we have that no other church in the world has? Sanctuary. This right here. No other church holds this doctrine but us. Everything that we believe, everything that we teach is fundamentally sound and biblically sound because everything we teach and believe go with the pattern. When we were studying stuff, we're looking at, that don't go with God's model. We got to back up. Let's take a look at this thing. When our church was formed, you know, we had Methodist preachers, we had Baptist preachers, we had Presbyterian preachers, but we had every leader from every church come together and they say, man, look, let's forget about all this nonsense. This is the scriptures I got. These are the scriptures you got. These are the scriptures you have. We all on the same subject. We all disagreeing. Let's put these things together and find out what's going on. That is the origin of Seventh-day Adventism. You can go back and study why guys are like, I don't know about that. Another one's like, I don't know about that. You go back and read our history and say, them guys went back and prayed and studied for nights and weeks and months on end saying, God, we can't agree. Help us to understand what it is that we need to know. This sanctuary thing is amazing, folks, right? Y'all still with me? I don't put y'all to sleep. So we know we have a what? The sanctuary, correct? Now, here's another interesting thing. Now remember, folks, keep in mind, I'm only skimming the surface. It really goes deeper than this. I'm only doing, you know, I like to stay with, you know, kindergarten. That's where I'm at when I'm looking at this. I've seen some stuff and read some stuff and studied some stuff about this thing that even I can't study it because I get so blown away every time I learn more and more about it. When you look at how God was talking about Israel being laid out, so say this is a sanctuary. The Bible taught that when Israel camped in the wilderness, y'all see these arrows right here? They couldn't have no campers in diagonal directions. Nobody could be camped that way. When they were laid out, you had tribes this way. Let me know if y'all see it yet. See it? If you were standing on top of a mountain and you look down at Israel, what was the symbol that you would have seen? And here's the interesting thing. Each one had to camp a certain way. And each one of them, actually, they had four banners. The first banner was a man. The next one was an eagle. This banner was a lion. And this banner was an ox. There are four sides of Christ. There are four gospels. One gospel talks about Jesus' humanity. Another gospel focuses on Jesus' divinity. Another gospel focuses on Jesus' kingship. And another one focuses on Jesus as a servant. Do you still think this is accident? And we wonder why God won't allow anybody to camp diagonal. Folks, I don't care where I'm at in my Christian walk. I don't care how many subjects I study. I don't care what I look at. To me, as a Christian, when I come back to this, I'm always blown away. God, you can't take care of me. My tithe coming up short this week. God said, boy, look at how much stuff I don't work out in history. Go back and take a look at that model. Look how much detail, look how detailed I am when it comes to running things. You think I can't run your life? The things we say to God. You know what else the sanctuary taught? You couldn't come to God any type of way you wanted to and get accepted by God. Who's the first person in the Bible that came to God like they wanted to? Right. God said, you come to me the way I say you come to me so that we can get right. What people want to do today? I'm going to come to God however I want to and I'm going to stay that way. God said, no, it ain't how it works. See, the sanctuary system taught when you came in there, oh, you had to sacrifice that animal right. You had to go through that burnt offering just right. You couldn't come in and just throw the lamb at the priest, say, you take care of it and walk back out. How'd that work? But folks, look, the sanctuary teaches, when you approach God, you know God has order, right? You know, God ain't like us. We get lazy. We don't want to have order. God is likes order. And I can't just do whatever I want. Cain brought his best. He said, look, God, this is me. Look what I have done. Look what I have grown. Look what I have brought to you. Abel said, Lord, this is the lamb that you made. This is the lamb you told me to bring. And this is the lamb you told me to have faith in. The Bible says God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice and had no respect unto Cain because they taught two totally different Christianities. But check this out. Both of them were worshiping the same God. We always talk about Cain because he was evil. But guess who Cain? Cain still took the time out to go worship. He still went to go to God. He still brought an offering to God. Cain didn't have to do that. But what he brought was what he wanted to bring to get right with God, not what God told him to what? To bring. Amen? Now, I'm almost done. I'm about to close out. Matter of fact, I am getting ready to close out. Y'all know I'm not long-winded now. So, in the Bible, you find this interesting concept. All right. And this is the earth, right? The first time the world was destroyed by what? The next time God says it'll be destroyed by what? messing up, ain't I? Hold on, I don't want y'all talking about me. And then, what happens in Revelation? It says it's made what? Do y'all see something in that? Y'all see something in it? In your Christian walk, do you see something in it? Don't you got to get baptized? Don't you got to have the Holy Spirit? And then you get made new. You see that? See how that works? Now, here's the interesting thing. In the sanctuary, there were three cleansing agents. You had what? Why I keep doing that? Fire. Everybody that's going to make it out of this world, you got to be baptized. You got to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you got to be covered by the blood. And if you follow this pattern, God will make you completely new all over again. I'm going to ask the church a question again. Do you still believe this is accident? It is impossible. There is no way in the world somebody can take my Bible and reason this away. I love to see people try to do that. Everything fits together like a glove. Some things you're just a loss for words. Now, here's the thing. I want everybody to go with me. You know what? You don't have to go there. I'm just going to go ahead and end it with this and ask a question. In Revelation, it says that after everything is said and done, John said, I saw no temple no more. It said the temple was no more, and it says the Lamb is now become the temple of it. Do you know the sanctuary works so well that it puts its own self out of business? Now, here's the thing, folks. Here's the thing. This is for another time. People say when you get saved in the New Testament, it's different from when you get saved in the Old Testament. When I went in the Old Testament, if I had my little meat, well, you know what? I'm poor. I wouldn't have a lamb. Saeed would probably have a lamb. I had turtle doves if I went out there to the temple. I'd probably be taking turtle doves with me. Anyway, if you bring a lamb, the Bible says you had to bring that lamb. When you had that lamb, you had to take your hand and you had to place it on the head of that lamb. Now, not only did you have to place your hand on the head of that lamb, you had to put your, what am I doing? She say stand on the lamb. I got to put pressure on that lamb. When did Jesus start bleeding for us? What night? Thursday night. Did anybody ever notice something significant that the Bible said? If you go to Matthew 26, 37, go to Matthew 26, 37 right quick. I want you to see something right quick before I finish this. Matthew 26, 37. It was right after they left the upper room and they was getting ready to go out into the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus was getting ready to suffer. Is everybody there? Matthew 26, 37, listen to this. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very what? Distressed. Mine say heavy. Why would Jesus suddenly start getting distressed and very heavy? Because what was being placed on him at that moment? Sins of the world. Oh man, that sanctuary. The life of Christ was already being crushed out that night. It is our sins that destroyed him. The Bible says once you started crushing the lamb, because see, what we forget is that there is suffering in sin. There is suffering before death. The lamb suffered. Then who cut the lamb's throat? Was it the priest or was it you? That's right. You had to take the knife and slice that lamb's throat because guess what? Sometimes I can't stand a step on a cockroach, let alone talking about slicing something through. Man, you talking about doing something like that all the time? Here's another thing, too. God wanted us to keep, God wanted to constantly keep before the people that death was always the result of sin. Because what were they surrounded by every day in the sanctuary? Death. And God was like, why do they keep doing the same things over and over again? I keep showing them what the result of it is. God was like, there's no way around it. So once you slice that lamb's throat, then the priest called the blood, and then that's when he walked into the sanctuary. I'm not going to go into all of that. But the whole point of the sanctuary was to get your sin off of you and onto that substitute so that God could get rid of it for forever. Now, one day, God's going to have to make a reckoning of the accounts, folks. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all know what we talk about, the Day of Atonement, and we talk about how one day God is going to get rid of all sin. Now, y'all know we teach that when God forgives you, God does forgive you, but you know your God has record books, right? Y'all do know that, right? Before the judgment come, there are record books. Y'all may get to heaven, and Terry Perry not there. You know, man, y'all got to make a mistake. Terry was preaching all the time. There ain't no way God going to say, here's his record. Why does God have a judgment? So that everybody can see that he made no mistakes. That's why God keeps a record. Oh, that the Bible don't teach that. Didn't Jesus say, what about the unjust servant? What'd he do? He went to the king. King said, I forgive you of $1 billion of debt. Then he went, what he did to his partner? Give me my 2 cents right now. King said, go get him. They brought him back. King said, I still got your debt. You're going to pay for everything that you owe me. Jesus says, so will your father do likewise if you will not treat your brother the correct way. Folks, we got to get our house clean. Because even though Jesus is in the sanctuary, you know one day Jesus is going to say, you know what? It's time to close up shop. One of the worst feelings in the world is when you got to go to the store and get something that you need, especially when you know that store going to be closed until Monday. You got to go get it on Friday. And that store closed before you get there and it's something that you need. Ain't that the worst feeling in the world? Well, folks, some people going to lose out on salvation just like that. God says, I got to bring this thing to an end. God ain't going to always have this thing going like this for forever. He says, I have picked a day in which I'm going to judge the world. And guess what? That's going to be it. The best illustration I ever heard of God's final cleansing was this guy said that. He said, we all got trash cans in our house, right? We got trash all in our room. When you go and you get all that trash out your room, out those rooms, and you put it into a big trash can, your house is clean of trash, right? Yeah, it's clean of trash. But that trash is still there. When you walk past that trash bag, it's still stinking. You know why there was incense before the last room in the sanctuary? Because the priest would go in there and sprinkle blood everywhere. What happened if you get dry blood like that just accumulating over time? What happened? And the Bible says you put an altar of incense before that because God said, y'all sin stink before me. I need an altar of incense to constantly burn to cover up y'all stench. You know what happened if you took those herbs that they used to make that and you replicated in the Old Testament? You know what the punishment was? Death. Nobody is like Christ. Nobody can even remotely in a way try to do something different. God says that incense represents something particular. It always burned before the holy place. God said, y'all saying stink. That trash bag still in your house and it stinks. In heaven, he got everybody trash up in that bag, but there's one day it's going to come when you need that trash truck to come and pick that bag up and take it away into a land uninhabited where you never think about it ever again. God is going to do a final cleansing. And when he does a final cleansing, the question I'm asking everybody here right now is, will your heart be right? And will you be ready? Because the Bible says that God wants to dwell in us that we may be holy, what? Temples unto his glory. So I say to you, each and every person here today, who is dwelling in your temple right now? Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this opportunity for us to come together, Lord, and worship with you. We ask you, Lord, now that your Holy Spirit will be with us as we go to our various destinations. Please fellowship with us throughout the rest of this holy day. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray and ask all these things. Amen. Amen.